Welcome to the CC Broadcast, a part of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Join us this week as our radio preacher, Pastor Tim Butker, continues his series, Unstoppable, with today's message, Evidence of God's Presence, Part 2.
Yes, it is so great to have you with us again this week on the CC Broadcast as we invite you to turn your heart towards the Lord in worship and praise with us, and then we open His Word and invite Him to speak to us by the power of His Spirit. We're continuing in this series called Unstoppable as we walk through the book of Acts, and we're highlighting again this week some evidence of God's Spirit at work and how we can look for that in our own lives and be praying for that in our own lives. And the gospel text for today is found in Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, and Acts verses 6, verse 7, which says, "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico," there in the temple. "None of the rest of the people around them dared join them." You'll find out today why in our message. "But the people held them in high esteem, the new believers, those that the Spirit was being poured out upon. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." Let us pray together. Father, thank you for your word, which teaches us about your work in human history, and it also reveals to us how we can be looking for you in our day. As we go through this time together, Father, may your Spirit encourage us and strengthen us. May we sense the power of the risen Savior in our spirits, in our souls, opening us up to you to increase our faith, that we may live more fully for your glory and your honor and your praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. We praise thee, O God, for that Spirit of light who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us. Revive us. Revive us, oh yeah.
I just want to say that I'm very excited to open the scriptures with you again today. I really do enjoy this. The scriptures seem to motivate me and stir me and inspire me more than anything else in the world at this point in my journey. And when I get to spend time in the scriptures or expounding on the scriptures, it really is a great encouragement to me, and I hope it's an encouragement to you. So I want to dive right in. We're looking in this last 2 weeks at Acts chapter 4 through Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, the promise was fulfilled. The Spirit was poured out on the believers. The power from on high went into them, rested upon them, and they started to be his witnesses. And we have now signs, many signs of God's Spirit working among them. The Bible says in Acts 5 at this point, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of men and women were experiencing salvation. It was a revival, a spiritual revival in Jerusalem. What happens when a person gets saved is somehow they come to the knowledge that they cannot please God by themselves, that God has done something to rectify their sinful nature before them through the gift of Jesus. And they confess their sins, they place their faith in Jesus, and their soul moves from darkness into light. They're regenerated and given a new nature in which to live. And the old nature starts to get put away on the cross, and the new nature starts to surge under the power of the Holy Spirit because light has come into their hearts. They're born again into the family of God, and now they have a different eternity, a different trajectory. They're on their way to heaven for all eternity to be in the presence of God and will no longer be separated from him. This is a miraculous work of the Spirit of God when salvation comes to a human heart. And this was happening time and time and time again. Both men and women of multitudes were experiencing the regeneration of their heart. We also see that the healings of sick and afflicted people continued. People gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they came into the city, and all of them were healed. There are touchings by God and healings from him when his Spirit is being poured out. And then we get to this point where it says, all the believers were in one heart and mind. That itself is a sign that God is present. Human beings don't unify very easily in heart and mind. I don't know if any of you are married, but sometimes it's hard for my wife and I just to find one heart and mind. But it says the believers at this time were all in one heart and mind, a supernatural work of the Spirit. And then it says this, no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. This completely goes against human nature. Human nature is selfish at its root. We protect ourselves first. We guard what we have first. But what's happening in the midst of the early church is people are coming to the knowledge of Christ. They're getting saved. They're experiencing an outpouring of Spirit and his grace. And their mindsets are changing. And they're starting to come to see everything that I own, everything that's in my possession, is not actually mine. It's actually God's. And I'm a steward of it. I'm to take care of it. And I'm to manage it. The idea of personal ownership is getting shaken here by the Spirit of God. And it says all the believers were in one heart and mind for what? For the mission that God had called them to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus to the known world at that time. The Spirit had seized their minds with this mission, and in doing so, they came to see that they were just passing through, that they were strangers and aliens here on the earth, that this world is not our home, that we were made for a better place. And they were on the trajectory towards this destiny of being in their eternal home. And what they had here is just simply entrusted to them for a little while they're passing through. And so that's how it describes it. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. They went from an ownership mindset to a stewardship mindset that God owns it. And they shared everything they had. Fascinating. Fascinating. You have to discern what is descriptive and what is prescriptive in this text. I don't believe God calls every community of his to live like this, but there are principles and truths in here that are just true. And the key principle here that the people were learning is that they are stewards of God's stuff. And the stewardship of this stuff is to be used for a mission, for a purpose. And they came together to accomplish the mission and the purpose together. This is more than just a football team advancing a pigskin or a basketball team coming together to try and score points. This is the people of God being called together to bring a message of hope, the only message of hope for all eternity, to the world around them. And what's happening to get this job done is supernaturally, people are becoming generous. Generous with their time, their talents, and their resources. They're opening their hands. And this is how the church moves forward. When people hear from the Spirit of God, and God says, serve in this way, sacrifice in this way, give in this way, and person after person after person in Jerusalem was being tapped by the Holy Spirit to do their part in the work of the kingdom. And we have a couple specific stories in here. The first one is Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. Now, when someone is named in the Bible, it often means they were somewhat influential, a leader of some point. Not always the case, but oftentimes in the context of the church. So Joseph was known by the apostles and known as an encourager. And it says this, he felt in some way, maybe moved by God to do something. He sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This was for the sake of the mission and how the church would move forward. I don't know the exact context of how this all happened, but somewhere along the line, Joseph got this idea known as Barnabas. And he said, hey, I have that field God has entrusted to me. We need some resources to keep this mission going, so I'm going to sell that field. And it says he brought the money from that field and laid it at the apostles' feet. First of all, I just want to say this is a very unique story, and everybody's giving story is different. And this is this individual man's story. And I want to observe that this must have taken a massive amount of trust. Because he's simply selling a field, and he must trust the leaders, the apostles, so much that he simply says, well, here's the money. Use it how you think wisely in this mission, in this purpose. And there was another gentleman there watching, is my guess is what's happening. Because then the scripture tells another story. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it's not very often that the Bible highlights a particular giving story. But Jesus talked about money and resources 25% of the time in his teaching. But here we have a specific story. And I wonder what it would feel like if God told your story in the scriptures or my story in the scriptures about giving. Because what's happening here is these people are getting stirred and moved by the Spirit, not just in the depths of their soul for salvation, but all the way down to their pocketbook. Salvation is coming. And they're starting to open this book to God, this pocketbook. And this is supernatural, friends, for an eternal purpose, an eternal work. And so Joseph did this, and someone else is watching him, I think, because the next record is about a gentleman who does the same thing, and his name is Ananias. The text says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. This was after Barnabas did his. But it says this, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Seems legitimate. Maybe the property went for a whole lot more money than he anticipated and said, well, I was going to give this much, but now it's sold for this much, so maybe I'll just keep this much. But he doesn't tell this to God or the people. When you talk about signs and wonders, friends, of the presence of God, God is hard to predict. And we see that in this text. He brought this money and he put it at the apostles' feet. But Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit, discerned something. And Peter says, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land. Keeping the money wasn't the problem. But he said, you've lied to God. Didn't it belong to you before you sold it? And after you sold it, wasn't the money at your disposal? Why did you lie to God? And why are you lying to his people? You have not just lied to his people, you are lying to him. And he says, this is a spiritual problem. The deception that's happening here comes from the great deceiver. You're filled with Satan, he said. Do you know the last time Luke mentioned someone being filled with Satan? It was when Judas betrayed Jesus. The deception that Ananias was living in his financial life before God, was brought out into the light when he made this offering. I said there's different signs when God is present. Humble people are touched. People are ministered to. People are cared for. But then also salvations happen. We see generosities going. But now we're going to see something else that happens when God is present. Peter said to Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? You could have kept the money, but you lied not only to human beings, but to God. And then the text says this. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. That's all it says. Now we serve a God of grace and mercy, but he's also a holy and righteous God. And the scripture says, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. I don't claim to know exactly what's happening here, but a man who's been deceptive with the Lord is now dead. Suddenly. And the scripture says a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Fear. A reverence. A respect. And then it says simply this. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, carried him out, and buried him. Just buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Not knowing what had happened, Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. And then the text simply says this. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. When God is present, not only do blessings come, but we come to terms and eventually we have to face the fact of what this God is really like. And we see here that his work in the world, it's not a game for him. It is not something that's not of great importance. It is something that he takes very seriously. As a matter of fact, the Bible says no one can actually look on God in the state we're now in and actually live. And so when God is present, at some point or another, a reverence and a deep respect or fear for God is going to grow in the hearts of people who are experiencing him. And I think that's what's happening here. He is purifying his church and teaching his church about the power of his nature. And this is an extreme sign of his holiness and his righteousness. It was so extreme that it affected not only the believers, but the non-believers. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. But no one else dared join them because of this reverence for God. What they were hearing about this, even though they were highly regarded by the people. So you have that sign, a deep reverence and fear growing. And then I would just share this last one, sign that permeated through Jerusalem and then moved the church beyond Jerusalem into the world. And that is the resistance that the enthusiastic people of God were experiencing. Where God is present, there will always be human nature resisting him. The high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy over what was happening with these new disciples. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But an angel of the Lord came to them that evening, freed them from prison, told them to go back into Jerusalem and keep preaching. And they did. They went back and kept preaching, took some great courage. And so the next morning, the religious leaders had them brought back before the Sanhedrin. And when they were brought before the Sanhedrin, they reprimanded them for speaking in Jesus' name because they had told them not to do this. And Peter said, "You decide for us whether we should obey God or you. You crucified Jesus. He has been resurrected. We have been commissioned by him to speak his name to the known world. We must obey God rather than you." They were furious at them, wanted to put them to death. But a gentleman stood up in their midst, one of the Pharisees, and said, "Hey, everybody calm down." And he told the apostles to go outside, and he spoke to the Sanhedrin. He said, "Listen, if their movement is from God, you will not stop it. But if their movement is just made up by human hands, it will itself disperse and fall apart. So just let them go and see what happens." And the text says that they brought them back in, told them that they should not speak anymore in the name, had them flogged, punished them, and then let them go. And then the apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering, I'm sure, with blood on their backs. And day after day in the temple courts, from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news of the Messiah. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And I can tell you this, the movement did not stop. It's still going today. And this is the beginning of the church. And this oppression and this persecution is going to move them out of Jerusalem when we get into Acts chapter 7. It's going to move it around to the known world, down to where we're at today. And the question for us today is not what happened back then, but what is God doing right now? And what is he saying to you and to me? And are we listening? Because we're in the Pentecost era, and the Holy Spirit is alive and well. And he might be saying something to you about maybe your salvation, your service, your work in his kingdom. And the question is, are we listening? I can tell you the Lord was messing in my life when I was in college, and he was redirecting me out of a selfish pursuit for the American dream into ministry service. And I was fighting against him at every turn. And I remember walking out of church one day, and I was explaining this to the pastor afterwards in the lobby. And I'll never forget him looking at me, shaking my hand, looking me in the eye, and saying to me, "Well, young man, I can tell you one thing. When God is at work in your life, it's much easier to work with him than against him." Whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to you today, friend, I hope you're listening to him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this gift of your word, where you teach us how you started the church in the face of great opposition under the power of your Spirit, how you transformed the believers' hearts and minds and their ways of thinking, because they understood and knew the power of the resurrected Jesus. Father, I'm mindful that this power is still open to us today, and this power is working in our midst, and maybe it's drawing someone to salvation right now to place their faith in your Son Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. And Father, give us ears to hear you in the course of this week. Help us listen to your Spirit and what you might say to us at any moment, at any time, to be responsive to you and obedient to you as we're a part of your church and helping build your kingdom here in the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin. My hand will save. I who made the the stars of night. I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will say. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I
Hi, this is Andrew Nordstrom, Technical Director of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. Our primary goal is to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Redeemer of the world and to promote the truth of God's Word. In addition to this weekly broadcast, we have three podcasts which you can listen to for free on our website, ChristianCrusaders.org, or on our free mobile app. The first podcast is a Bible overview devotion called the Daily Dose Devotions. The second podcast features inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. It's called the CC Podcast Conversation. Our newest podcast is Homer Larson Live, which features a powerful series of sermons from one of our former radio preachers recorded live over his five-decade ministry to his local church.
Today you've been listening to the broadcast transmission of Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministries. We're one of America's longest-running radio ministries, on the air since 1936. We are completely donor-funded and donations are tax-deductible. They can be sent to 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or made online at ChristianCrusaders.org. Thank you for tuning into this broadcast. We'll be here again next week at the same time, and until then, may God richly bless you.